Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
If you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse number 2. We're going to take a little bit of a deviation this morning. We've been on this series, How to Pray Bold Prayers, since January, and we're going to jump off of the Praying Bold Prayers series for about 2 weeks as we talk about how to change our world. And so as you get ready to receive the message this morning, I do want to speak to all the men real quick. This Tuesday night begins our men's Bible study. We'd love for you to join us at 7 p.m. Just let me know personally after service via Facebook or whatever that you're going to be here so we can make sure we have pizza enough for you. But love for all the men to join us this Tuesday night. I want to talk about changing your world. You know, here's the thing. How many would say that in your lifetime, whether you're 20, 40, 60, or too old to mention, that in your lifetime, the world has changed? Right? Any of you that ever worked at a Blockbuster video would say your world has changed. Right? Anyone that ever owned an 8-track would say your world has changed. Any of you that know how to drive a stick shift would say your world has changed. But here's the thing, a lot of the ways our world has changed is because change happened to us, not because we made change happen. I want to ask you this question. How do you want to spend the rest of your life? Letting change happen to you or making change happen for you? I believe God wants you to not just be someone who has had their life changed, though He does want you to have your life changed. He does want you to pass from death to life, from sinner to saint, from lost to found. And if you don't know about that, you can learn about that this morning. But more than God doesn't just want you to have your life changed, He wants you to use your life as a world changer. I want to talk about this morning. If I were to ask you, name for me the day your life changed. Now, you might say the first time my life changed was high school graduation, right? You had this sense of freedom. You no longer had to show up at school every day at 8 a.m. Or maybe it was college graduation. Maybe you would say my life changed the day I got married, right? That changes a lot. I've done enough premarital counseling to know that premarital counseling is just a good start. It really can't explain to you all the ways life changes when you get married. Another way that life changes is when you have your very first child, right? Life changes. People have given you gifts, you've had baby showers, you've read books, and nothing you read, no gift you received, really prepared you for what just happened, right? Life changed. Or maybe it's the birth of your first grandchild. And just for all of you who are new this week, when you see me walking around with these two little girls in my hands, those are not my grandchildren, those are my children. So just let me keep your foot out of your mouth for you this morning. But I hear the word on the street is that changes your life as well. I say all that to say that too many people have this feeling that your world changes when certain things happen to you. And some people, their world hasn't really changed because they've tied their world change to something external changing that they're not in control of. Like, well, my world will change when I get a new president. My world will change when I get this new break at work. My world will change when I find Mr. or Mrs. Right. My world will change when the economy gets better. And the problem with that way of thinking is you spend your whole life waiting on your world to change. Someone sang a song about that. I don't know, you're too spiritual to know about it. What's worse is some people don't just believe that their world is going to change from the outside in. Some people believe this: my world will never change. That might be the saddest thought to think. That the way my life has been is the way my life will be. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus came to change what no one else could change. Jesus came to change those of us who were lost and put us in the found category. Those of us who were slave to sin and give us freedom in Christ. Jesus is in the business of changing our world. But friends, He also wants to put you in the business of changing the world of other people. So how can we change your world is the question we're going to ask this week, the next 2 weeks. And we find pretty famous guy in the Bible. His name is Peter. We're going to look at the day his world changed. Luke chapter 2. And he, speaking of Jesus, he saw two boats laying on the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of their boats, which was Simon's, also known as Peter, and asked him to put out a little distance from the land. And he sat down and he continued teaching to the crowd. So I want to ask you just to take a moment, hit pause, and just picture this. Jesus has been teaching people, and he kind of starts to venture away from them, and instead of them going back home, they begin to follow him. So Jesus has got this huge crowd of people on this hill they've been listening to him, and so Jesus stops talking for just a moment. He turns to these fishermen who almost, you wonder, are they ignoring him? I mean, the Bible says they're cleaning their nets. They're kind of busy. Maybe they're listening. Maybe they're multitasking. Maybe they're cleaning out their boat and washing their nets as they listen to Jesus preach. We're not really sure. But Jesus needs a platform. He needs a podium. He needs a way that he can speak and more people will listen. And how many know that sound carries a little bit better over water? And so Jesus tells Peter, hey, put your boat out. And from Peter's boat, he begins to preach to the people on the hill. And it says in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he told Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon responded, Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I'll do what you say and let down the nets. And when they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, so great that their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats to the point that they were sinking. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all of James and John and the sons of Zebedee who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Don't fear. From now on, you'll catch people. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. And I pray the next minutes of time, I pray two prayers. I pray right now, Lord, if there's someone in the room who's not following you, I pray you'll change the world. I pray that in the next minutes of time, they discover there's joy like they've never experienced before. There's peace beyond what they've ever heard of before. There's purpose beyond what they could ever imagine. There's healing that's greater than what they could ever hope for, and it's found in you. So I pray for those who they need their world changed. But God, I also pray for those of us who've had our world changed. Lord, we know the grace of God, the gift of salvation. We know what it's like to have peace that's indescribable but undeniable as well. God, I pray that we'll move from people who have just had our world changed to be people who will change our world. So Father, help us change our world today. Help us change our world at home. Help us to change our world at the marketplace, in the schoolyard, around dinner tables, wherever it is we find ourselves. Use us to change our world. Help me today to speak what you want spoken. Help us to hear, Father, what you want us to hear from your word, and we'll respond to all of it. And everybody in the room said amen. Peter had a good life. He had a business. He had a job, he had an occupation, he even had family. He didn't just have family, he had family engaged in the business with him. He was successful in many regards. He had partners, so you know, he had a lot of things going on. Peter had a good life, but it wasn't his best life. And Jesus walked onto his boat that day. Peter got in his boat and Jesus changed Peter's world, and then he told Peter, now that I have changed your world, I want you to change the world of others. I'm going to move you from being a catcher of fish to a fisher of men. You know, Mark Twain once said that the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you figured out why you were born. On this day, Peter figured out why it was that he was born. He was born to be a fisher of men. Can I just tell the assembly cabinet today, seated in this room and watching online, you were created to be used by God. You were created for divine purposes. You are not an accident. You're not a spare part. You're not a leftover. You're not just a bump on on a log somewhere. You're not even retired from making a difference. You're not too young to make a difference. God has called you to change your world today. And maybe you haven't been making the change you feel like you ought to be making. And this morning, I want to ask you, let's join together and commit ourselves to changing our world. To not just changing the world, but being the change our world needs to see this morning. Well, you may say, Pastor, how can we do that? I want to give you a few ways this morning. Number one, here's how you can change your world. You change your world by trading your good life for the best life. I think if I was to go around and ask every one of us in this room today, hey, is your life good? Most of us would say yes. Some of us would, even if you said no, you might change your answer if I were to ask you to compare your life with the life of someone else. If I were to ask you to compare your life with someone who lives in a different part of the world, who's enduring things that are worse than what you're enduring, with a little bit of a conversation, I could probably convince all of us on our worst days, life is still pretty good. But I want to tell you this morning, God's not just caused you to live a good life. God's caused you to live the best life. That's why John 10, Jesus said, I've come not that you can just have life, but you can have life abundant. Life that doesn't just end on your last day on planet Earth, but actually a life that begins on your last day on planet Earth. For the church of Jesus Christ, the best is always yet to come. But you got to be willing to trade your good life for the best life. See, success is good. Peter had success to a particular measure, but can I tell you, there's something better than success. It's called significance. And God's wanted to change. Listen, I'm going to share some numbers with you later today. We have been a church of significance the last 12 months, the last year, actually several years. We've always been a church of significance, but friends, I believe that God is lifting. He's elevating the significance of our church on planet Earth this morning, and He's going to lift the significance of the church because He's wanting you and I to lift our awareness of the significance that God wants to make in our lives today. See, a good life, here's what many of you have figured out. A good life will never satisfy the longing that you have inside of you for the best life. Some of you have gotten promotions that you thought would make your life complete. You've had experiences that you thought would bring you the most ultimate joy. Your bank account has reached numbers that you thought would bring you security, and yet you get what you thought was impossible, and all of a sudden you understand that what you thought was impossible, now you have, and that didn't bring the joy you thought it was supposed to bring you. You're discovering that, here's what I hope you've discovered, is that good life never brings you the promises that the best life that God has for you always brings. It's only Jesus that can really change your world. You know, in 2020, which wasn't that long ago, really, but in the beginning of 2020, before the pandemic, before most of us had heard of COVID-19, so last January, last February, a survey was done here in the United States of America, and the survey found that 9 out of 10 people were satisfied with the way things were going in their personal life. 90% of people, if you ask them, how is life, would tell you life is good. And that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Right? But I wonder, is our comfort blocking us from the significance that God wants us to have? Is our comfort with the good life actually being a hindrance to the best life that God wants us to have? See, Jesus stopped by Peter's boat one day, and He invited Peter into a better life. He said, follow Me, and I'll change your world, and I'm going to change your world by making you a fisher of men. I'm going to change your world by you changing the world of others. See, you'll change your world. Here's point number one. You'll change your world when you decide good is not good enough. Saying good is not good enough is not a sign of arrogance or ungratefulness. It's a sign of commitment that says, Lord, I'm going to reach out and grab a hold of everything you paid the price for me to have. I'm not going to settle for anything less than everything you have for me. I'm not going to settle for making a little bit of a difference when you've called me to make a world of difference in my family, in our community, and the world we live in. One of the best ways we can honor God is to never settle for good when God's called us to the best. Pastor, would you please apply that for me in somehow? Thank you for asking me. Single people, stop dating good matches. Look for the best match. Stop settling for what other people say is good enough when it comes to serving God. Start asking God what's good enough. Start asking the Lord, what's the best I can do for you, not what's the least I can do for you. You change your world when you decide, I'm not going to give my spouse just enough to appease her. I'm gonna do all I can to please him or her. I want to give them my best, not just what's good. It'll change your world. Here's the second way you can change your world. You can change your world when you realize your past. Somebody will shout here. Your past life does not disqualify you from your best life. Amen. Amen. Listen to what Peter said. He fell on his knees. He said, Lord, go away from me because I am a sinful man. You know, this snow, some of you are thinking I'm crazy. Is anyone ready for just the snow to go away? Amen. Some were saying yes, some were saying no. Let me tell you how much it snowed this past week. It snowed just enough to make me want to go snow skiing. Like, instead of filling this need, it's like birth this need. And so I have been googalooging the last week, how can I sneak in a quick trip to Colorado in the next few weeks before the snow out there begins to melt, and make sure my kids have a good time. And so I begin to look at all these places we can take our kids, and can they ride the sleds if they don't like skiing, and can they ride the tubes if they don't like the sleds? And, you know, because when you take young kids, you got to have plan A, B, and C, because you can spend all the money in the world, all of a sudden 3 minutes into it they say, I don't like this, and your day is shot. Can I get an amen? Right? And so I've been trying to get, I got to have plan A, B, and C, and D would be nice. And I found plan A and B and C, and I was getting ready to make my pitch to Megan so we can get ready and go. And Nora, my youngest, is 38 inches tall. And everything, plan A, B, and C, all require her to be 42 inches tall. So, you know, I know you think like I do. How can I stack four toboggans to make her 42 inches tall so we can go ahead with plan A, B? I'm just, you know, do you ever feel like when it comes to life, there's some measuring stick, and no matter what it is, you always feel like you're just too short? You just don't measure up. And maybe you even feel like the bar keeps on getting raised and you get to where someone told you you ought to be and that's not enough. Peter, he's in the presence of Jesus. Let me just tell you what the presence of Jesus will do to you. The presence of Jesus will make you become keenly aware of your shortcomings. But the shortcomings you come aware of in the presence of Jesus was never appeared. It was never made known to you to push you down or condemn you. It was always to bring you an awareness to your personal need of salvation that Jesus has already made available to you. So the moment you realize I don't measure up, Jesus says, I measured up for you, and I am more than enough, and you are more than enough in me. Amen? There is never a moment for the believer where the Word of God tells you you don't measure up when you're walking and operating in Him. So your past life, how do I change my world? You'll change your world the moment you realize my past life isn't a barrier to the new life that God has for me. 1 John says, but if we walk into the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from most of our sin. No, He cleanses us from what? All of our sin. All of it. The heartaches and the failures of my past cannot compare to the height of your calling and God's purpose for you. You can change your world. You can change the world of those around you, no matter how bad, deep, or destitute you feel like your life has been in the past. Your past life is no barrier to your best life. God can change your world. He can use you to change the world of those around you. Third way you change your world is you change your world when you determine to change the world of other people. Jesus said in verse number 10, don't fear. Don't worry about your past life. Don't worry about how you didn't measure up, Jesus said. You know, here's one of the things that's comforting me. How many understand that Jesus knows everything? Right? He knows it all. Jesus already knew Peter's shortcomings before he got in Peter's boat, and he got in Peter's boat anyway. Peter knew what you couldn't do, what you could do. He knew Jesus knows your mistakes, your hiccups, your hangups. He knows all of that before he says, I want to use you, and he says, I want to use you anyway. And so Jesus deals with our past, but then he says, don't worry, from now on, you will be catching people. Now that I've changed your world, I'm going to use you to change the world of others. You know, every once in a while, I think it's good for all of us to ask this question. How is my life impacting others? How is my life changing the world of people around me? You know, someone once said that the smallest package in the world is someone who's wrapped up in themselves. So we got to make sure that we're always expanding our world, always trying to do what's best for the kingdom of God, always making the best to take advantage of every opportunity we serve we have. As a matter of fact, there are certain sentences I would like for you to remember this morning, and this is one of them. Serving others serves you well. And I want to follow that up with this sentence. Failing to serve others is a disservice to you. Sometimes we think, well, if I don't serve, I'm letting people down, I'm letting the church down, I'm maybe even think like I'm letting God down. All that might be true, but let me tell you, the person you're failing the most when you refuse to serve is you're failing yourself. It's a huge disservice to a lot of things, but the biggest disservice, not saying I'm going to change the world of someone else, the greatest disservice is the disservice you do to you. One person once said that in seeking happiness for others, you'll find it yourself. Galatians chapter 5 says that you were called to freedom. Only use your freedom as an opportunity. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but instead love and serve one another. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus was the ultimate example. He said, for even the Son came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I want to tell you this morning, there's never a moment you look more like Jesus than the moment you're serving. Rochelle was praying a few minutes ago. You know, she prayed, bring glory to God by shoveling snow or praying in the altar, right? How many know that it doesn't matter the act in which you're serving? God gets glory in all of it as long as you're serving Him. Someone once asked me the other day, and I heard someone the other day having a discussion about what's the difference between an inheritance and a legacy. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe I've heard it before and forgotten it. But the answer, what's the difference between leaving an inheritance and a legacy? And here's what their answer. They said, inheritance is what you leave for someone. But a legacy is what you leave in someone. And as believers of Jesus Christ today, God has called us to leave a legacy, to leave a difference in someone. This morning on your Connect card, some of you feel like, Pastor, you're baiting us right now by doing this. Yes, I am. In your chair, there's a card that says Kingdom Builders on the front. On the back, it says Change Your World. And I want to just put a plug in this morning. If you're not actively serving the kingdom of God in some capacity, These aren't all the opportunities to serve around the church. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to, you could just write at the bottom of that little white spot, I am willing, and we'll call you. We'll find a place to plug you in. Because, friends, when you are not serving the kingdom of God, it is a huge disservice to you. It's a huge disservice to you. Do we have kids that need to be loved on? Yes. Do we have teenagers that need to be discipled? Yes. Do we have adults that need encouraging and things to be accomplished? Yes to all that stuff. But the greatest service in serving comes to you, not just to others. That's why Jesus said, follow me and I'm gonna change your world by causing you to change the world of others. The moment you decide, I'm going to be the world changer, I'm going to change someone's world, I'm going to change my world by changing the world of someone else, you'll be amazed how your world changes as you commit yourself to changing others. So I've challenged you this morning. Take that card out and put a check mark beside an area. Or say, I'm interested in serving. Once a year, we always do a huge get on board thing that we haven't done this year, but so this is the moment that we're doing instead of that. Because I know your life, part of changing your world, it doesn't happen in your commute back and forth to church. It doesn't happen in your commute back and forth to work. It happens when you engage in serving people. And serving through the church is one of those doors. Your world will change the moment you begin changing others. Fourth this morning, changing your world always requires sacrifice. If changing your world starts by changing, investing in other people, how come we don't have more people investing in other people? If it is so obvious that it brings joy to you by serving others, if it's obvious that it transforms you as you invest in transforming others, if it's obvious that the greatest way to become a disciple of Jesus Christ is by discipling someone else to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, which that is all true, by the way, if that's the greatest way to do it, if that's the fastest way to do it, if that's the deepest way to do it, if that's the most longest-lasting way to become a disciple, why aren't more people doing that? I'll tell you the answer, because it requires sacrifice. I don't want to gloss over this morning. Making a difference, changing your world will require sacrifice. But here's what I know about you. You're already good at sacrifice. The question is, are we sacrificing for the right things? I don't want to get into your business, so I'll just get in mine. A few weeks ago, months ago, I really thought, you know, if I had some new golf clubs, it would change my world. And since I wanted that part of my world to change, guess what I did? I sacrificed. I gave not a few dollars, but a lot of dollars for my world to buy some new golf clubs so my world could change in that area. And when I paid out those lots of dollars to change my world, I didn't say, when I zipped that card, I was smiling. Because I'm about to change my world. This is going to be awesome. Wouldn't you like to know if it helped? I'm not going to tell you. But I gave sacrificially with joy. Those two little girls you see in every one of our Facebook pictures. I was the guy that didn't want to have kids. We get married, you know. 3 days later, Megan's ready to have kids. I might be exaggerating that, but quickly, in my world, she's ready. And I'm like, listen, we got to go. We got to travel. We got to see the world. We can't have kids. Come on. We you know. And so that rode on, and I'll never forget. I was at a youth basketball game. Our youth group had a basketball game. She and I were youth pastor at the time. So this is like almost 20 years ago, 18 years ago. So I don't know. Time flies when you're having fun. It's a long time ago. We're at this youth basketball game. There's this guy. His son attends our youth group. The family does not. And so I'm trying to chat the dad up. I'm trying to chat him up, see if he goes to church. If he doesn't go to church, maybe I can invite him. I know he doesn't go to our church. And so I'm sitting here. His name is Tim. Today he's one of my great friends. But I'm sitting there with Tim, and I'm just getting to know him. I'm just chatting him up. And he asked me the question you always ask. What do you do? What do you like to do? And then, do you have kids? And I just flippantly remarked. I said, man, we ain't got enough money to make kids. I'm in college. I'm a youth pastor. Megan's in college. We don't have money to have kids. And he just went from smiling to real serious. He said, you know, Greg, he pointed at his son, who I think was like 15 at the time. He said, 15 years ago, I didn't have enough money to have kids either. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I became best friends with the guy who owned the pawn shop. He said, I pawned my watch, I pawned my guns, I pawned rings, jewelry, I pawned everything to buy baby food and diapers. I said, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. It's just kind of, you know. And he said, no, you don't understand. I joyfully put those guns on the table and said, hey, just give me some cash. He said, it was the greatest thing in my life to sack. He said, what I got from having kids is so much more than anything I'll put on the counter. I said, wow. I realized in that moment that dad had a joy I didn't have. This is, I'm on the platform. I got my hand on the Bible. I went home from a basketball game and told my wife, let's have some kids. Right? And 12 years and 100 grand later, you know, it's easy. Here they come, you know? But what was all of that sacrifice? Yeah, but not really. Let me understand what I'm saying. Right? Because when you love what you're sacrificing for, then all of a sudden what you're sacrificing for becomes a joy instead of a pain. Amen? There's a guy the name in the Bible whose name was Jacob. And he was so smitten with this chick named Rachel. And he asked her dad, can I marry this girl? And he said, sure, you can marry her if you'll serve me for 7 years. Remember what happened? The Bible says that 7 years seemed like a week. Was it sacrifice? Yeah, because his soon-to-be father-in-law was a cheat. And he did cheat him. Then he had to serve seven more years. I just want to ask you. You were talking about changing your world. Is what you do for God a pain or a pleasure? If it's become a pain instead of a pleasure, I would ask you to refix your eyes on who and why you're doing what you do. You know, the word says in Hebrews chapter 12, speaking about Jesus, who, if anyone's ever sacrificed, could we all just get on the same page this morning and say it was Jesus? No one has sacrificed for us like Jesus. You and I have never sacrificed for anything or anyone like Jesus sacrificed for us. But here's what it says about Jesus, the one who sacrificed everything for all of us. It says it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down right now at the right hand of God. What does that mean? That means that you are so important and so loved by Jesus and so loved by God. He said, I went through the cross. I went through death. I went through torture. I went through beating because I love you. And it wasn't, even though it involved pain, all he got out of the deal was joy of rescuing you. And I'm praying, God, bring us the joy of rescuing people. Bring us the joy of not just having our world changed, but changing our world again. Amen. Let's not live our 60, 70, 80, however many years we get on planet Earth, hearing about the joy of the Lord and not really knowing the joy of serving Jesus. It's the best way to live this life. Luke chapter 6 reminds us that we can give, it'll be given. pressed down, shaken together, running over. You never lose when you give to Jesus. So this is the Sunday. Some of you are wondering, what do you got into today? This is the one Sunday of the year. I'll reiterate it a couple more times, but this is the one Sunday a year that we kind of, as a church, share the opportunities that God has given us to change our world. And we put all these opportunities into one package that we call Kingdom Builders. And for the rest of the year, we'll be asking you to give to Kingdom Builders financially. We'll be asking you to serve in different places that Kingdom Builders allows us to go serve. And there's people that have been everywhere from down the street to around the world in different Kingdom Builders activities. And today I want to talk to you real quickly about a few ways we can change our world today. And if you haven't already picked up on this already, you've already noticed on the back of that same card that you were talking about serving a few minutes ago, is the flip side is Kingdom Builders. I want to ask you in just a minute, I'll give you a warning, I'm going to be asking you to partner with us in changing our world, not just physically through serving. I'm going to be asking you to also verbally change your world by witnessing and sharing the gospel. We'll talk about that next week or two, but today we're going to close. Megan, if you want to come, but how to change our world through giving financially. I want to share with you a few ways this morning we're going to change our world this year through our giving. We're going to change our world through the giving. We did this last year. The giving of Fire Bibles. Now, many of you are familiar with Fire Bibles. Some of you may not be, but it's hard for me to believe that around the world today, there are people, there are actually pastors, preachers, who are leading churches of hundreds and sometimes thousands of people that do not have a complete copy of God's Word in their hands. And some of them that do have a complete copy of God's Word in their hands, it's in their second language. It would be like me preaching to you this morning from a Spanish Bible. It'd be a mess, right? Some people are having to deal that way. It has no commentary. A lot of our pastors around the world don't have the ability to go to a school or even have correspondence schooling sent to them or online. That's not there. And so the solution for that has been been sending this Bible to these pastors. It's not just a complete Bible. It's in the language that they speak day to day. Or you catch some of the application you don't catch. But it's also filled with commentary to where when you read a scripture, you can actually see right below that scripture how to apply that. If you're leading a Bible study or even leading a church, it's almost like not just a Bible, it's the Bible in a Bible school delivered to them. And so this year, we're committing $5,000 to put hands to put Bibles in the hands of pastors around the world. We don't ask you to help us with that. We're also helping partner with the ministry called the Ability Tree. Many of you have become very familiar with the Ability Tree. I talked about the shirt last week. There was an Ability Tree shirt ministry that's helping families with special needs kids. They have quickly, some of you picked up that we have started the Ability Tree Cabot as one of our ministries. But the Ability Tree is becoming flooded with churches like ours around the nation that says, hey, we want to know how to reach the families with special need kids in our community. And they're sending people to Salovo Springs to be trained, and they're having to spend hundreds of dollars to stay in motels night after night. Some of them are wanting to stay for a season to be trained, and so we're helping them. Some of us have already been there to help remodel a facility that can be used to house people, so we don't just change that person. We change entire churches when they go back home and reach families around the world. We're committing to help them with that project, which is about $10,000 this year. We've been helping last year. We're going to do it again with $7,500 with Options Pregnancy Center to help ladies choose life for the unborn. We're going to do that. We partner. You may not, this is something we don't mention enough, is that, you know, every month, there's 30 missionary families around the world that they have water in their faucet and lights in their house and churches to operate, because churches just like this take care of their living needs every month. We do that. We're doing that this year. It's to the tune of almost over $16,000. We're doing that. You're going to help us do that. We're also partnering with a ministry called Project Rescue. Last year, in the last 12 months, Project Rescue ministered to over 50,000 women and children who had been sold into sex slavery around the world. We're changing the world. Pastor, you're talking about money. Yeah, every dollar you give represents a life you're changing. We're going to change people's world. We're going to change our community through local outreaches and local ministries. We're going to focus this year on quickly paying off this mortgage so we can be doing the next things that God has for us. Pastor, that, by the way, that's just like six things out of the list that's a page long on my computer. We're going to change our world. If you take all those things and add them together, it's an incredible amount. It's actually just over $100,000 this year that we're believing God is going to help us change our world. And this is not sticky money. It doesn't stick to this church's hands. This is money we just filter to ministry partners around the world. And I want to ask you this morning to take out this card. I want to ask you this question. Will you change your world? Will you help us as a church change our world this morning? I want to ask you to take that card that says Kingdom Builders, put it in your hand, and ask this prayer this morning. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, would you speak to me about the part that you want me to play in changing my world? Changing the city of Cabot. I didn't highlight that a whole lot in this talk. I'll do some more next week about the ministry opportunities. You've already seen us partner with Hope's Closet. You've seen us partner. We're partnering, I think it's next week, with Cabot Schools to do an outreach. You partner with us through Snack Pack every week almost to feed kids that don't get fed. But Lord, just ask, pray this prayer. Father, speak to me about what you want me to do in 2021 to change my world. I'm not going to ask you to make it known to other people. I am going to ask you in a few minutes to turn this in so we'll know where we are and our pledges and where we need to be. Some of you say, Pastor, that sounds impossible. Well, let me just bring you an update on where we are, because some of you, when we met our Kingdom Builders goal last year, January rolled around, you just kept on giving. And so already this year, every time we have $1,000 come in, Thomas, give us that picture of a tree, just a blank tree. And every time we have $1,000 come in, we're going to add a leaf to this tree. There you go. And so every week when we have a leaf pop up, $1,000 come in, we'll add a leaf. And so, Thomas, why don't you hit that button a few more times? Matter of fact, hit it again, 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 again. Because we've already had over $10,000 come in from Kingdom Builders just this year. Amen? Praise God for that. Before you even had a chance to know the whole story, you've been giving. Pastor Addison told me that's actually not right, Pastor, because they made some speed of light money this year. Kingdom Builders isn't just what we do as adults. It's actually, we take what we're doing as adults, we take what the kids are doing, we take what the teenagers are doing, we put it all together. That all equals $100,000. I'm asking you this morning to do something to change your world. So I want to ask you right now, just write your name on there, and just, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Megan and I don't want to ever ask you to do something we're not doing, so we're not going to tell you what we're going to do for a year, but I will tell you that we're starting today. I can't give the first of anything because you guys keep on giving it, but I can give the first of today. Today, Megan and I are giving the first $1,000 towards Kingdom Builders. And I do not say that to impress you with how big or small a gift is, but and you can get said, Pastor, you shouldn't tell people what you give. That's right for you, but you know what? I'm not like you. I'm the leader, right? And I believe the leader goes first. And so I can't ask you to do something I'm not giving. And so today, this isn't all we're doing, but this is what we're going to start with today. And so I want to ask you to not, I talked a few minutes ago, you're not going to live your best life by just doing good enough. I want to ask you to ask the Lord, God, what's the best gift I can do and believe you for in 2021? And that's what I would challenge you to ask the Lord. So, Father, just speak to people's hearts right now. No molding, no manipulation, no pressure. Just speak to their hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to write that down on that card. And then I want to give you point number five this morning. Point number five is this: you change your world with perseverance. You change your world by finishing what you start, by believing God. Lord, it doesn't matter how hard times get. You know, there was a moment when Jesus called Peter on the seashore and he said, hey, follow me, I'll make you fisher of the man. And he left everything and he followed Jesus. But if you fast forward, there's a moment in Peter's life where all of a sudden the popularity and the fame of Jesus dwindled, and now people are still running to Jesus by the hundreds. They're leaving Jesus by the hundreds. And Peter asked Jesus this question: Lord, don't you care that other people are leaving you? And Jesus responded with this question: do you want to leave too? And Peter said, no, Lord. You alone have the words of life. In other words, Peter said, I know where my help is coming from. I know I got to stick with you. When you make this pledge this morning, when you decide today that I'm going to change my world, I'm going to change my workplace by sharing my faith, I'm going to change my family by introducing prayer in it like I've never introduced before. When you make commitments to God, sure, there will be attacks against you. That sacrifice, there's going to be moments where the joy and the pain is mixed for a moment. Persevere. Galatians says, don't become weary in well-doing, but finish it. For in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. Here's what I want you to do with that card. You can do two things with it. You can drop it in the drop box on your way out, or you can leave it in your chair. We'll come by and pick it up. If you're online watching today, man, I wish I was there so I could give. Real easy. Send us an inbox on Facebook. It's not very high tech, but you can do it today online as well. But finish what God starts. Let me pray for you today, then we'll dismiss you. But God, I thank you that you've changed our world. I'm thankful this morning that there's someone in this place whose life needs to be changed. They've never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I'm thankful the Word says that if we confess our sins, that you'll be faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. God, I pray there's someone today that needs to do that action today, that they'll do it right now with boldness and confidence, knowing that you're cleaning their life, you're forgiving their sin, you're eradicating their past, that everything in their life is becoming brand new. I pray you'll do that in their life just like you've done it in my life. And God, I pray for all of us today who've determined we're going to change our world. God, show us new opportunities, new resources, new avenues beyond what we've ever dreamed. Do it today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. As you're leaving today, why don't you go out and change your world? Amen. God bless you. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today?
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.